many feel as though he is just the beneficiary of being the son of a wealthy white businessman in New York City. But no, when you look at his failures and then his abilities to get up on the horse and ride it again after he's fallen off, I think that is a prime example of what is necessary to be successful in America. And I think that's the blessing in having President Trump as our nation's leader.
It's a movement, but it's about people. Be the People is about we the people joining forces to reclaim and reshape the best of our nation's time-treasured traditions. Each week, we offer insightful interviews with movers and shakers from all different spheres of life. And now, please welcome Dr. Carol Swain.
Today, I'm excited to feature a Black activist who escaped from the Democratic Party and has dedicated his life to showing others the road to freedom. C.L. Bryant is a native of Shreveport, Louisiana. He was born in the 1950s. He is a Baptist minister, a grassroots activist, a senior fellow at FreedomWorks in Washington. He is also the founder of One Nation Back to God. C.L. Bryant is the host of the C.L. Bryant radio show. He's also the creator and star of a 2009 film, Runaway Slave, that won the Dove Award. C.L. has a recently released book, A Race for Freedom, that we'll talk about later. We welcome our speaker, motivator, activist, and preacher, C.L. Bryant. He was the original runaway slave to the Be the People podcast, which is now on the America Out Loud Network. So hello, C.L.
Hello, Doctor. It is so good to be with you, and I thank you so much for having me on today.
This is a bit of a role reversal, given how many times I've been on your show.
Yes, and you're always a welcome guest on our show. You're absolutely one of our favorites. Got to have you back real soon.
That would be great. When I think about you and the movie Runaway Slave and the things you've been doing over the years, I mean, you were the original Democrat that walked off the plantation long before Brandon Strock's walkaway movement. What was it that led you to make that decision?
Dr. Swain, I was president of the NAACP in Garland, Texas, back in the late 80s, a two-term president. Dr. Benjamin Hooks was the national director of the NAACP at that time. And he sent down a directive to myself and other presidents in the region to support the pro-choice movement. He wanted me to go and speak at a pro-choice rally in Dallas County. I refused to do that because of my personal and, of course, religious core values and beliefs. And my star, Dr. Swain, that was rising rapidly in the organization, I noticed it abruptly began to set. And I said to Jane, my wife, I said, you know, they just don't want to control the agenda. They want to control me and use me as a tool to control the other people. So I walked away from what I was beginning to see as a plantation, but I found that I would have to run away from it because walking away would absolutely be too slow. And so the same things happened to me that happened to other runaway slaves in former times. In American history, you began to be made examples of, public examples of, in front of the people, so that they would not have the courage to do the same thing that you were doing. They wanted to keep you where you were. So the light came on at that point in time.
Could you tell me when this happened? Which year was it?
This was in 1989 and 1990. We were in the midst of a federal lawsuit with the Garland Independent School District. We had sued them in federal court, and Judge Jerry Buckmeyer was the presiding judge at that point in time. And the magnet schools that are in Garland, Texas at this point at right now, that are there now, came out of this lawsuit that the organization that I was heading up was, in fact, engaged in.
How did the black people in Garland, Texas, the ones who knew you, react to this?
When I left the NAACP, there was an active move from the national to push me out. My executive branch, my executive officers began to turn on me. And this is something that is absolutely common when you become the odd duck. You become the person that the tribe has decided should not belong any longer in the tribe. And so that's what caused me to begin to look for other avenues of political expression, which led me some years later to, after becoming an independent and examining being an independent, I found out that you're a very lonely political figure because very few people are independents in the South where I was operating.
I agree. Because when I left the Democratic Party, I was not ready to be a Republican. And so I went through a period of being an independent, and it was sort of like standing in the middle, throwing rocks at both sides. And eventually you realize that you need to pick a team and join a team.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Doc. And it's very lonely, especially when it comes election time in Louisiana. And we left there and went to Florida. But even in Florida, it was not, adequate enough involvement being an independent. And so, like you said, you had to choose a side, a political side. And I chose Republicans. It was after 6 or 7 years before I actually came on board.
And for me, it was a number of years, too. Well, when you moved to Florida, were you preaching at a church, or have you been independent since?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I never stopped preaching. I was a minister of evangelism in Garland, Texas, at Dairy Road Baptist Church, and Second Chapel on Dairy Road there in Garland, Texas. And then when I moved to Florida, I was out in Fenona, Sassa, at New Testament Baptist Church in Fenona, Sassa. And I was dually employed both as a mortgage originator, I was in the finance business, and also as a minister. And one day I was looking for a client, and I was flipping through the AM channels, and I came across in 1990 a fellow by the name of Rush on the radio. And I had never heard this guy before. Clinton was running for president, and he was giving Bill Clinton the blues. And so this began a trend of thinking that I had not investigated previously.
Well, we're going to take a break, and when I return, I'd like for you to talk about the significant issues you see affecting black people in America.
Are you wondering what we can do about immigration? Then get your copy of my newly released book, Debating Immigration, the second edition, available at Amazon, Cambridge University Press, and all major booksellers.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I'm back with my guest, C.L. Bryant. And C.L., I was about to ask you, or I'm going to ask you, what do you see as the most significant issues affecting blacks today?
The most significant issue that I think we as black people face here in our nation, America, today is the struggle of being more productive in every facet of the word instead of being consumers in every facet of that word. You and I, Carol, come out of the same type of, same generation. And we remember a time when black business, black involvement in its churches and civic organizations, whatever they may be, whether it was, the Eastern Stars or whatever that might be, for women and whatever it might be for men, you were very much engaged in that thing. But the church was the focal point of the black community, and we were producing a community, and we were producing good citizens at a time when it would not appear that we were doing that. And we have traded that, it seems to me, for becoming consumers of politics and political ideas.
But do you think that has something to do with just how, the Democratic Party has, I would say, pretty much that the black people from our previous generation, they put their faith in God because they had to. But then in the 1960s, when government became bigger, that many black people have shifted towards making government hold the place that at one time in the black community, it was God.
Absolutely. Dr. Swain, government became God. Government became daddy in the home for too many black women. And that is one of the ill effects of what was called at that time the Great Society. It actually undid a great society in the black community.
I know, and a lot of blacks want to complain about slavery, and that's what destroyed the black family. But we know in the years coming out of slavery up through the 1950s that the black family was very much intact, and black people were thriving and prospering. But something just went wild and crazy in the 1960s that ended all of that.
Dr. Thomas Sowell says in my movie, Runaway Slave, that during slavery itself, more black babies were born to two-parent homes than they are today. That is a scathing indictment on the black community. If when we look at that statistic of from then until now, and it is no doubt, and I have no qualms with integration. I think integration has been something that has been beneficial, but seriously and quite frankly, we were a better people when we were segregated, because it seems as though we were more self-sufficient and self-reliant.
Well, I wanted to tell you that you don't have to call me Dr. Swain. I'm Carol, and you're CL. And so if you can retrain yourself. But
Carol, you know I have so much respect for you and your title and your work. But Carol, I thank you for your friendship. I really do.
I wanted to say that during the time I was at Vanderbilt, there was this professor, Robert Belton. He had been involved with the civil rights movement, the Griggs versus Duke Power case. And he was among the black civil rights leaders who said that segregation, was not necessarily, that segregation was bad because it was unequal, but that 50 years after Brown, blacks were much worse off. And so there were some black activists. They were not conservatives by any means. They were Democrats, and they were saying that the civil rights movement, when the integration that came out of it, destroyed the black community. And we know that it destroyed the quality of education that black children were getting in a lot of those schools, because they were being educated by teachers who were well-educated, who knew what they would encounter outside of those walls and were really vested in the children.
That is absolutely right. The black teacher went to your church. Your mother and she or he went to the same beauty shop. And if he was a male teacher, they went to your father's. They crossed paths at the barber shop. And and that type of thing. And then sometimes they, the black teacher many times had another job, a part-time job, and sometimes that part-time job would be with your parents and so forth. And so they had a vested interest in making sure, as we said back in the day, that you became a credit to the community and to your race. And now, you know, not saying that this is a place where we have destroyed, but when we examine it, there is something that has been lost when we were able to go to Sears and Roebuck's, and when we were able to go to Mr. J.C. Penney's or shop at the other stores. The black business, the black enterprise in the community, it disappeared, it evaporated.
It certainly did. Another question I have for you, we see some polling data that would suggest that 36% of blacks approve of Donald Trump. Do you think that will translate into votes for Republican candidates, or is it just about Donald Trump?
I believe it is a personality politics that is both at this point useful, but could prove very unhealthy. Because, Carol, it does open the door for those who have Hollywood personalities to feel as though they can enter a political arena where the stakes are much higher than just popularity. There is a blessing, in my opinion, and a curse in the presidency of Donald Trump, and that is he is one of those larger-than-life, so to speak, personalities that became president of the United States. I do believe that this has opened the door for others like Alec Baldwin and even Kanye West and people like that to feel as though if his personality can become president of the United States, then why not me? That, I think, may actually lend itself to being something that is very unhealthy in the future.
Well, I mean, if black people actually look at the bottom line financially, they and Hispanics are benefiting from this Republican presidency in a way that they have not benefited under Democrats.
Absolutely right. And it is because President Trump is a successful businessman. I said, I believe it was on Hannity, and the quote went viral last year when I said it. I believe that Donald Trump will be a prime example of entrepreneurship in the black community. Got a lot of flack for saying that because many feel as though he is just the beneficiary of being the son of a wealthy white businessman in New York City. But no, when you look at his failures and then his abilities to get up on the horse and ride it again after he's fallen off, I think that is a prime example of what is necessary to be successful in America. And I think that's the blessing in having President Trump as our nation's leader. But his larger-than-life personality, that's a blessing, too. But it does open the door, as I said, to others who may not be as successful as he has been in the business world.
Now, what do you make of all the attacks on Kanye West, especially if you watched the CNN show with Don Lemon, where there were black commentators or contributors denigrating Kanye?
As a preacher, Carol, I am always happy when one sinner comes to Jesus. And if Kanye is certainly sincere about his conversion to this cause that you and I, in fact, tout, I am absolutely happy. I do see a double standard and a hypocrisy there. You and I have suffered the slings and arrows of saying and being who we are in years of taking that type of abuse. You and I have paved the road for people like Kanye West and Candace Owens to travel. But this is the thing that I think is the double-edged sword in the way Don Lemon does, in fact, approach Kanye and the way Kanye approaches this. We just talked about it. It's the politics of personality. And the thing that you and I must watch out for, and other watchmen on the wall like we are, must watch out for, are those who don't have truly the core value beliefs,
right,
but are, in fact, sailing on the sea of popularity at this point in time. It's popular to be a Trump fan in some circles right now. But what happens when it comes down to how you stand on abortion, how you stand on the marriage rights,
you're right.
And that type of thing? That's what I'm saying.
You're right. But, you know, some of the slurs and attacks on him, I've been called a dumb Negro and ignorant, Aunt Jane, all kinds of names just because I'm conservative, and I'm sure you've been called an Uncle Tom. And so in those attacks, which totally violates everything the political left says about political correctness, which is their other god, there is enormous hypocrisy.
Exactly. The hypocrisy is stifling. And Don Lemon should know better. I've been interviewed by Don. You can just Google the interview, C.L. Bryan, Don Lemon interview, CNN. Don Lemon has been hypocritical for a long time, but he's paid to be that way. And when the man has paid you his money, you're going to sing his tune. And that is the one thing that I thank God that I have been able to do, and that's to remain as independent and as runaway as I have been. And that's the old song goes, Papa may have, Mama may have, but God bless the child who's got his own.
Amen.
And that is something that lends to your freedom and your independence. You don't have to dance to anybody's music, and you can say what you want to say.
Now, we're going to take another brief break, and when I return, I'd like for you to tell our listeners, you know, how they can contact you, what you're working on, how they can support you, anything that you want to say to close out the segment.
There are speakers, and then there are great speakers who know the importance of creating that memorable moment. Well, the key to any successful event is an informative and inspirational speaker. Professor Dr. Carol Swain is that gifted speaker. She delivers passionately from the heart every time. To find out more about booking Carol for your next great event, simply go to carolmswain.com. Click on Public Speaking and then click the blue Book Carol tab.
I'm back with, I guess, C.L. Bryant. CL, it's been great talking with you, and I'd like to give you this time to say whatever you would like to say to our listeners.
Well, Carol, Dr. Swain, I thank you again so much for your friendship over these past years. You've been on my show I've been on radio for 5 years, and we've been having you on ever since. I've come on. I thank you for this privilege. They can contact me. You can follow me on Twitter, @RevCLBryant. You can go to the website, thecLBryantShow.com. The CL Bryant Show comes on daily over Red State Talk Radio. We are up on a billboard above Ripley's, believe it or not, in Times Square on the Red State Talk billboard. And that's from 12 to 2 p.m. in the East every day. And again, you can download the free C.L. Bryant Show app onto your favorite device. And my book, A Race for Freedom, is available on Amazon. And, of course, you can get that there. And again, Dr. Swain, we look forward to hooking up, and I'll see you on the trail real soon. And again, thank you so very much for your friendship, and thank you for having me on.
We've been listening to C.L. Bryant, one of my favorite political activists. C.L. has provided us with much food for thought. Until next time, remember that we the people can be the people who change America and ultimately our world.